All right, we'll say good morning, good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Share to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Steve and Terry Zinn, in loving memory of Steve's father, Albert Zinn, Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim Zichron Levrach, on the occasion of his 20th Yahrzeit. Our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, in the schuss of a continued Refuah Shalema for Shulamis Chana Bas Susha. And our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Tali and Michelle Strum, in creation of Tali's grandmother's 28th Yahrzeit, Esther Bas David Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas Avin Aliyah, all the families in the Chama, all those who need Refuah Shavuot, together with Kol Cholei Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, should continue to shower Besoros Tovos upon all of Klal Yisrael. Boz V'Dav, let us begin. Today's Daf is Daf Samech. We are picking up Emir Tz Hashem, on Nun Tesla Base 59B, V'Rabbi Yossi, Ki Gamar Gzeira Shava, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. So let's remember, just to reorient ourselves for a moment, if you remember again, we had an interesting machlokas. The Torah said that Halacha L'maisa, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, built the Mizbeach, so the Gemara says that, or the Torah says, that Bayomahu, on that particular day, he went ahead and he was Mekadesh. The Pasuk says, Bayomahu Kidesh HaMelech es Toch HaChatzer Asher Lifnei Beis Hashem. So literally the pasuk says that on the day that Shlomo HaMelech consecrated the Beis HaMikdash, he sanctified the actual floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the Gemara says that halacha lemaisa, it's a machlokas. Is it literal or is it not literal? So if you understand that it was literal, it means that the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech had built was too small to accommodate the sheer volume of sacrificial service, and therefore they had to go ahead and actually shecht karbanos on the floor. The other opinion says, no, that's not what it means. What it means is, when it says the Mizbeach was too small, it's a metaphor, or a euphemism, I should say, for whose Mizbeach was too small? Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was too small, and therefore Shlomo built a new Mizbeach to accommodate the new level of karbanic volume. Why not just say that straight out? Because it wouldn't have been nice to explicitly say that Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was too small. So what you use is, remember again, they use the midget metaphor just to indicate to us that sometimes, again, you like to say something not in a straight out fashion, but a little bit of a veiled fashion. Okay, so we'll say, so that's our ongoing machlokes over here. So Gemara said, Rabbi Yossi, ki gamar gzeira shava, begofa hu digamar. So Rabbi Yossi, when he understands this gzeira shava, because let's remember again, what was the gzeira shava between, and again, in yesterday's daf, a gzeira shava between the Beis HaMikdash of Yechezkel and the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. So remember again, we saw also this machlokes is the vision of Yechezkel. The episode of Yechezkel speaking about the second Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash. Let's go with the idea right now that it's second Beis HaMikdash, and therefore let's go back. Rabbi Yossi ki gamar gzeir shava. When Rabbi Yossi understands his gzeir shava, begofahu de gamar. He's ultimately understanding it to apply to the height of the Mizbeach. The Sanya, because we learn v'shalosh amos komaso dvarim kichsavan divra bihuda. So also when the pasuk says, just to read to you the pasuk in its entirety, you shall make the Mizbeach out of acacia wood, chamesh amos arech, 5 amos in length, the chamesh amos rocha, 5 amos in width, ravua yamzeach, v'shalosh amos kamaso, and 3 amos in height. Most remember again, just also to get our terms, what Moshe Rabbeinu built was called the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, that's the exterior Mizbeach that was used for animal sacrifice. What Shlomo HaMelech built was called the Mizbeach HaVanim. By the way, now, these pieces of information come together. Why was it called Mizbeach HaVanim? Why was it called that? Because you remember again, a couple of days ago, we spoke about how the Mizbeach itself was actually formed with the smoothed stones, right? And then the pitch, tar, what was the third ingredient? Pitch, tar, lime and plaster, right? Pitch tar is one thing, right? Pitch or tar, lime, plaster, right? Combination, I'm sorry? Molten lead, thank you. Right, pour together over the stones to form that comprehensive thing. So interestingly enough, so the pasuk says over here, by the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, these are the dimensions. Shalos amos kamaso. Tvarim kichsam de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, quite literally, it's as it's stated. Rabbi Yossi says like this, Ne'emar kan ravua, it says over here, ultimately, again, by the Mizbeach, ultimately, this is Mizbeach Achitzon, the outer Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built Ravua, that is square. V'ne'amar lahalon, and ultimately, again, it says by the Mizbeach HaPnimi, this is the Ketores Mizbeach of Moshe, Ravua, square. Ma lahalon, also listen to this, very interesting. Ma lahalon govho pishnayim ke'arko, just like by the Mizbeach HaKetores. Ultimately, the height is two times the length. Afkan, so too by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, Afkan pishnayim ke'arko. So too by the outer Mizbeach, ultimately again, the height, Mala gofo pishnayim ke'arko, so the height is twice the width, twice the length. So too by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the height is twice the length. And therefore, ultimately again, that would make the Mizbeach HaChitzon 10 amos in height. Okay, so Marsa Amr Rabbi Huda, Valo Kvar Ne'amar Vesach, Valo Amr Rabbi, let's get around this. Efshar, Rosi, here's the problem. If the Mizbeach is 10 amos in height, right, so that means the coin is sitting on top of the Mizbeach, 10 amos in height, Efshar coin Omei Lagabi HaMizbeach, Va'avod Debiyado, V'chala Amrono Somi Bachutz. Rosi, if that's the case, interestingly enough, then Aloch Alamai said that would mean that when during in the Mishkan, when the coin was on top of the Mizbeach, he was standing above the curtains which surrounded the Mishkan, which then would mean that everyone would see the coin doing the Avodah. So I'll just point out something very interesting. So you'll say to yourself, so what? So what's fascinating, remember again, is one of the elements that is so core and pivotal to the concept of Avodah in the Mishkan and in the Beis Hamikdash as well, is tznius, is a sense of modesty, a sense of privacy. That's why, right, if you think about this, the holiest day of the year on Yom Kippur, the holiest Avodah, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Holy of Holies, yet amazingly enough, who sees it? No one sees it. Which, if you think about it, is the strangest thing in the world, right? Shouldn't this be like on the Mikdash Jumbotron? You know, like everybody should see this, right? This is the most inspiring thing in the world. But Elamai, there's a very important Musar, that sometimes the most dramatic spiritual feats should happen in a modest, unassuming, non-public way. It is natural for people to want to publicize their spiritual accomplishments. And by the way, there is a place for publicizing your spiritual accomplishments as well, right? Because remember, again, if people, you know, this comes up a lot in tzedakah, right? Tzedakah has these two competing motifs. On one hand, there's the highest level of tzedakah is to give in private, right? To give bitzina that no one knows about it. But there's a competing value. What's the competing value? Dafka, to make sure that your tzedakah is public and well-known. Why? Because it encourages other people to give. And by the way, this in general is the dynamic by spirituality. That on one hand, I'm supposed to be private and supposed to be tzanua, modest in my spiritual accomplishments, but I also have to figure out when, by sharing those very things, I could encourage others to do the same. You know where this comes from? Okay, there's many examples of this. But let's say, for example, a siyum, right? The reason why a siyum is so incredibly important. Because what does a siyum do? We all know this. We've all been to siyumim. What does a siyum do? How do you feel when you leave a siyum? Don't say buzzed. Right? How do you feel when you leave? Right? You feel like I'm ready. Like, give me Gemara, right? I'm absolutely ready to do this, right? I'm ready to accomplish. That's the power of these things. So I just want to point out this notion of engaging in spiritual activity in a more modest and like non-public way ultimately comes to the Beis HaMikdash. So the idea is like everything that happened for the coin was done in private. So therefore the Gemara says, here's the problem. If the Mizbeach, now we're talking about the Mishkan now. If the Mizbeach was really 10 amos high, that would mean that when the coin was on top of the Mizbeach, everybody could see him on the outside. Why? Because the Pasuk says, So here's the problem. If the Mizbeach is 10 amos high, then the Pashas, everybody could see him. Sigmar says, don't worry. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi says, no, don't worry. V'alok var ne'emar, ves kali achatz, ves masach shah achatz, shah ala mishka v'al mizbeach. Ma mishkan yud amos, af mizbeach yud amos. V'omer, Kilayim Chare Chamesh Esrei Ama top of Samach Ama Ala Kasev. So we'll say no problem, because at the end of the day, actually the curtains were 15 amos tall. 15 amos tall, and therefore halacha lemaisa, it's okay, because even when the coin was standing on the mizbeach, ultimately again there was another 5 amah of curtain height above him. I have the gemara. One second. Here's the problem. Umat hamud lomar hey amos, but why does the pasuk seem to indicate that it's 5 amos? Because the pasuk says orach hachatzer mea ba'ama v'rochav chamishim mechamishim v'koma chamesh amos sheish mashazar. The problem is the pasuk seems to say that the height of the curtains was 5 amos. So how do you reconcile that? This is very interesting. Misvas mizbeach ulamala. What it means is, when measuring from the top of the mizbeach and above, the curtains were 5 amos. Oh, so then I will say, so really the total height of the curtains was 15 amos, but measuring from the top of the mizbeach, it was 5 amos. And therefore it turns out that halach lemaisa, the coin did have privacy even when doing the avodo. Ma tamud lomar. So we'll say samachamdav 60a second line now from the top. Ma tamud lomar v'shalosh amos kamaso misvafs sovev ulamala. So we'll say, so now this is transitioning out to the mizbeach hakitoras, the incense altar. So when it comes to the incense altar, the pasuk says, right, this is the what we call mizbeach hakitoras, mizbeach hazahav, the golden altar, the incense altar, the much smaller altar inside of the Heichal, inside of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So what does the pasuk mean when it says, v'shalosh amos kamaso, misvas sovev ulamalo, that the Mizbeach was 3 amos in height. Misvas sovev, ultimately, I will say now, the sovev, we're going to see, there was like a band around the Mizbeach, ulamalo, and above. Rabbi Huda, listen to this. Rabbi Huda, if you look at Rashi, by the way, Rashi says, Misfas Sovev Ulamala, Al Makom HaKronos Ulamata Himenu Vav Amos, the Gova Karen Amo. Fine. So Mar says like this. Rabbi Huda, Ki Gamer Gzer Shava Barachmuhu the Gamer. When Rabbi Huda learns the Gzer Shava, he's learning the Gzer Shava much more to refer to the width. Ul Rabbi Huda. Ul Rabbi Huda, Ha Kamishazi Kohen. So I'll say, here's the issue. According to Rabbi Huda, still his height would have it that you could still see the kohen. Now, granted, some of the curtain did extend up, but you would still be able to see the kohen. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rabbi Huda, it's in Rashi in the third wide line. Nehi nami didvarm kich savan hakamischazi kohen hagovu shalosh ukelayim eina ela chamesh vuatzmo gimo amos. In Rabbi Huda's model, one understands the pasuk a little bit more literally. Although some of the coin's body is shielded, pretty much we'd still be able to see his head above the curtains. So the Gemara says, not a problem. So this is very interesting. Rabbi Huda says, what's the avoda of the curtains? That you shouldn't see the avoda. But if you see the coin's head, you see the coin's head. It doesn't matter. The idea is that the avoda itself should be in a bit more of a private setting. Okay, beautiful. So Bishlam Rabbi Huda, Hainu Dichsiv Kidesh. And so I will say, so now going back, remember this whole discussion started by Shlomo HaMelech. So the pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech sanctified the floor. According to Rabbi Huda says, Dvarim kich savan, that it's literal. It's literal. So according to Rabbi Huda, this makes a lot of sense why the pasuk says that Rabbi Huda says, Kiddush, that Shlomo HaMelech sanctified the chatzar. Why did he sanctify the chatzar? Because literally he was using the floor of the Beis HaMikdash to shecht karbonos. Take a look at Rashi, almost right across. B'shalom Rabbi Huda, Hainu Dichsiv Kiddush, HaMelech Estoch HaChatzar, Shechutzrecha Kol HaRitzpa LeKadsha L'Shem Mizbeach, Ukdushasa B'Shirah Mincha. We'll get to that in just a moment. So according to Rabbi Huda, it makes sense that the pasuk says Kiddush, that Shlomo HaMelech literally sanctified the ground, because that's what he did. He literally sanctified the floor of the Beis HaMikdash so that it could act as a mizbeach. Elo, the Rabbi Yossi, my Kiddush. Say, here's the issue, right? The pasuk does say Kiddush HaMelech Estoch HaChatzar. It says that he sanctified the floor. It really does say that. So according to Rabbi Huda, the pasuk makes a lot of sense, because essentially he was making the floor an extension of the mizbeach. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that, no, remember again, where is Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says that when it says that the Mizbeach was too small, which Mizbeach was too small? The Mizbeach of Moshe, and that's why Shlomo built a new one to it. But what does it mean when it says that Shlomo sanctified the floor? What does that mean? Amazingly enough, my Kiddush, Lahamid Ba Mizbeach. It's beautiful. ultimately, again, to put the Mizbeach there, that in order to place the Mizbeach on the ground of the Beis HaMikdash, what did you have to do? You had to sanctify the ground. Now which is interesting, by the way, of course, something unique that didn't happen by the Mishkan, right? Because remember, again, the Mishkan did not need what we'll call any soil sanctification, because by definition, it was mobile, right? It never stayed. It wasn't supposed to stay in one place, the Beis HaMikdash, which ultimately, again, is stationary. We'll discuss just how stationary in just a little bit. Halacha l'maaseh apparently required some type of soil sanctification. You had to sanctify the ground. So that's what it means that Shlomo Melech was mekadesh the ritzpah. He was mekadesh the ground upon which the Mizbeach was situated. Incredible. So Gemara says, Bishtam l'Rabbi Yossi hana d'chsev katan. So according to Rabbi Yossi, ultimately, again, this is why the Pasuk says katan, that it was too small. Ultimately, because remember again, according to Rabbi Yossi, ultimately again, he's referring to the Mizbeach Moshe Benu. Al Rabbi Yehuda my katan, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, what is katan? Rashi says over here, Bishlam Rabbi Yossi damer shal Shlomo gadol v'shal Moshe katan. So again, it makes sense to say that the Mizbeach was too small because it's not referring to Shlomo's Mizbeach, rather it's referring ultimately to Moshe Benu's Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Ella Rabbi Yehuda my katan, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, ultimately again, what does it mean it was too small? Because we'll say, remember again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shlomo Melech effectively made the Mizbeach and the entire floor of Mizbeach. So what was too small? What was too small? So the Gemara says, Hachikam, that's what it means to say, Mizbeach avanim sha'asa Shlomo tachas Mizbeach ha'nechoshes katan halon. It means to say like this, that even though Shlomo HaMelech constructed a new Mizbeach, the new Mizbeach that Shlomo, the Mizbeach avanim that Shlomo constructed, instead of the Mizbeach and the Choshes of Moshe, was still too small. And therefore, what do they have to do? They had to sanctify the floor as well to serve as an extension of the Mizbeach. Incredible. So the Gemara says, but my plague is, at the end of the day, what is the machlokes over here? So this is very interesting. Rashi goes through this a little bit more as well, but fine, we'll just go by there. Rashi says, "But my pligi, what are they arguing about?" So Marsav, Rabbi Huda says like this, "Danin chutz michutz, ve'in danin chutz mipnim." Rabbi Huda says that halacha l'maisa, we want to learn out chutz from chutz, which means we will learn out the halachos of the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech from the Mizbeach, ultimately again, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we would rather go out and make a gzeira shava, ultimately, again, between two outer mizbechos, chutz michutz, ve'in daran chutz mipnim, and we're not going to ultimately, again, learn out a din of the outer mizbeach from a din of the inner mizbeach, mizbeach hakitoras. Marasav, Rabbi Yossi says, danin kli mikli, ve'in danin kli mibinyan. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. It's very interesting. Rabbi Yossi says, we would rather go ahead and learn out the halachos of one kli from another kli. Now, here's what I want to point out to you. We have been very much focused on this idea that there are two mizbechos, right? Two altars. The mizbech achitzon, an outer mizbech, ultimately again, which is for animal sacrifice, and the inner mizbech, mizbech kitoras. Now, the mizbech kitoras was pretty much the same thing by the Mishkan and by the Beis HaMikdash. What fundamentally changed was the outer mizbech. Right, the outer mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was much smaller than the mizbeach ultimately of Shlomo Melech. Furthermore, the inner outer mizbeach of Moshe was what's called the copper mizbeach. By Shlomo Melech, it was called mizbeach avanim. There's another very important distinction as well. The mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, the mizbeach hanachoshes, right? The outer mizbeach, what we call mizbeach of karbanos, was mobile, right? Because everything in the Mishkan was mobile. On the other hand, the Mizbeach of Shlomo obviously was stationary, it was not mobile. We'll say, once something is mobile, what does that make it? In Halacha, that gives it the classification of a Kli. Right? In Halacha, remember again, something can be categorized in multiple categories, but let's for our purpose have two primary categories, which is Kli and Karka. Right? But what makes the difference in Kli and Karka? Kli is mobile, Karka is stationary. So what's interesting over here is, fascinatingly enough, the Mizbeach and the Choshes, the copper Mizbeach, the outer Mizbeach, the altar, right, the carbonic Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kli. It was a Kli because it was mobile. So watch this. So on one hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'd rather go, I've done in Chutz Michutz, Vein done in Chutz Mipnim. Let's learn out one outer mizbeach from another outer mizbeach, and not compare the outer mizbeach to the inner mizbeach. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, "Mar savar danin kli mikli, vein danin kli mibinyan." We also remember again the common denominator between the mizbeachos of Moshe Rabbeinu, or the mizbeach, the outer mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the mizbeach haKitores. Because remember, mizbeach haKitores in both Batei Mikdash has the status of a kli, right? Why? Because it's movable, because it's small. And there, not that it was moved, not that it was moved, but can be moved. So there's Rabbi Yossi says, we'd rather learn out kli mi kli, one kli from another kli, vein danin kli mi binyan, and not kli from a binyan. Take a look at Rashi. Kli mi kli, mizbeach hanechoshes vazahav kelim heim. So remember again, by the Mishkan, both the mizbeach hanechoshes, which is the outer mizbeach, and the mizbeach hazav, which is the inner mizbeach, ultimately, again, are both kelim. So therefore, in Rabbi Yossi's model, this was, we just had this point in the beginning of the daf, Rabbi Yossi will learn out, rather learn out his gzeir shava, ultimately, again, from like items. Kli kli, so mizbeach hanechosh, as from the mizbeach hazav, Amar Rava, mod Rabbi Yehuda bedamim. Rabbi Yossi, it's very interesting, is as follows. As much as Rabbi Yehuda said that halacha lemaisa, right, the entire azara ultimately, again, was mekudash, right, that Shlomo HaMelech was makdish the ritzpa, that he was makdish the floor, and therefore you could shecht karbanos even on the floor of the mikdash. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that when it comes to blood applications must be done on the mizbeach itself. So this is very interesting, I will say. That even if you hold that somehow there's a mechanism to sanctify the floor of the mikdash itself to act as an extension of the mizbeach, that is only for shechita, not for zrika. Zrika itself must be done on the mizbeach. The sign of Bosei, this is the Gemara we had. The sign of Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, we saw this Gemara before. Kos echad hayim memalim idam ataroves, v'shoch fo agam mizbeach. So Bosei, Karban Pesach. Right? After they finished shechting all of the carbon pesachs, what would they do? The kohen would take out, remember, the blood had pooled up until their knees. So what would the kohen do? He would take a cup of collective blood and then throw that on the mizbeach. And what did that do? So the Gemara says, Shim yishbach damoshal, shim yishbach damoshal achas mehen, nimsa zemach shiro. Because in the event that the blood of one of the carbonos did not have proper zrika and fell on the floor, this act of combined zrika would essentially take care of all of the collective carbonos. So what do you see from here? What do you see from here? So Rabbi Yehuda kula azara mikatsha hais avdilei mitzvaseh. Because if Rabbi Yehuda really felt that when we sanctify the floor, mamash becomes like the mizbeach, that means that what? When the blood falls on the floor, that's effectively a zrika. That's effectively a zrika, and therefore it should work. So the fact that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that at the end of the Karban Pesach process, you would take a cup of collective blood, pour that on the mizbeach, that shows that even if you hold that shechita could occur on the floor, right? That shechita, in other words, that the floor is like an extension ultimately of the mizbeach, zrika must be done on the mizbeach itself. The Dilma, one second, hold up. That's not a raya. The Dilma Mishum de Kasab Shvicha Mikach Adam Ba'inan. One second, maybe Rabbi Yehuda requires you to lift up the cup of collective blood poured on the mizbeach because he holds that zrika requires koach adam. What's koach adam? In other words, zrika requires intentional effort, as opposed to, remember again, as opposed to just dropping blood on the floor. Because also remember again, for example, here's an interesting application of this. Let's say the kohen is holding the blood, he trips, and the blood ends up spilling on the mizbeach. So that's not necessarily zrika, right? Why? Because zrika requires koach adam, requires intentional effort. So maybe halacha lemaisa, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to pick up a cup of collective blood is because the blood application requires intentionality. And that didn't happen if the blood just spilled on the ground. Well, if that's the case, in came nishkale v'nishbach le'aduchte. If that's the case, no problem. Then what should you do? Pick up a collective cup of blood and what? Pour it back on the floor. But this time, pour it back with intentionality. That should be enough. The fact that you have to pour it on the mizbeach indicates to us that zrika must be done on the mizbeach. V'dilma, mishum deba'inon mitzvah min amovchar. Maybe not. In other words, we'll say, even if Rabbi Yehuda would say that zrika can be done on the ground, everyone will agree that what's the mitzvah min amovchar? What's the ideal way to do it? That we do it on the mizbeach. Right, so it's not a raya. So it's just because at the end of the process of Karban Pesach, that Allah says to take a collect, we take a cup of collective blood and pour it on Mizbeach, is not necessarily a raya that you can't do Zrika on the ground according to Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Huda might just be telling us, this is the mitzvah min ha-mufkhar, this is the ideal way to do it. Okay, interesting. So Amar Rabbi, I just want to point out, so now that kind of ends this discussion. So just to point out over here that we have a historical machlokes about what exactly happened the day that Shlomo, or over the days of consecration. Did Shlomo HaMelech actually consecrate the floor of the Mikdash itself to allow the floor of the Mikdash to serve as an extension of the Mizbeach? Is that what it means when it says that the Mizbeach was too small? Or no, he didn't consecrate the floor. All carbonic service took place on top of the Mizbeach. And when it says that the Mizbeach was too small, that's ultimately a euphemism that the Mizbeach of Moshe was too small, and hence Shlomo HaMelech had to build a new one. So just an interesting historical machlokes. Incredible. Let's go back there. Amar Rabbi Elazar, both say very, very interesting halach over here. Mizbeach shenifkam, this is reminiscent of yesterday's daf as well. Mizbeach shenifkam, if the Mizbeach is damaged, ein ochlin begino shiyari mincha, you can no longer all eat the leftovers of the mincha offering. So we'll say, so remember again, mincha 101, what do you do with a carbon mincha? What does the kohen do? He takes a kamitza, right? Remember again, three middle fingers, goes ahead, lifts up, shaves off the edges with his pinky and his thumb. That is offered on the Mizbeach. After you offer Zan on the Mizbeach, the rest of the carbon is the Kohen's. It belongs to him. So now the Gemara says as follows. So now Rabbi Elazar says, if the Mizbeach was damaged, the Kohen can't eat the rest of the Mincha in a state of where when the Mizbeach itself is not whole, when the Mizbeach is damaged. Ne'emar, v'achlua matzos eitz on Mizbeach. So this is very interesting because the pasuk says, "You shall eat the remnants of the karban mincha." Literally, you'll eat it as matzos. Now, again, there are different types of karban mincha, but the point over here is kohen. You'll eat the karban mincha eitz al mizbeach by the mizbeach. Now, why does it say by the mizbeach? V'chi eitz al mizbeach achlua. So I understand you don't have to eat the mincha by the mizbeach, right? You could go ahead. Rashi says over here, "V'chi eitz al mizbeach achlua." Follow kol azarak sheir lekach tiksiv b'mincha. So Mitzvah will say the halacha is you could eat the leftover mincha anywhere in the courtyard, anywhere in the Azara. So why does it say that you eat the mincha by the Mizbeach? Ela bizman shu shalim, velo bizman shu chaser. Right? The Gemara says what eats la Mizbeach means, essentially you'll eat the kar mincha when the Mizbeach itself is intact. Intact. But when the Mizbeach is not intact, i.e. it has been damaged, halacha l'maisi, you can't eat the kar mincha. Incredible. So ashkech on shiari mincha. So now I know this halacha by mincha. Kodshei kadoshim minalon. How do I know about kodshei kadoshim? Both said the same halacha applies to kodshei kadoshim. That halacha l'maisa, again, let's say, just to illustrate where this case could come up, when the kohen offered the karban, the mizbeach was fully intact and whole. Then what happens? The mizbeach gets damaged. So now the kohen has the sacrificial meat. How do I know that I can't eat sacrificial meat if the mizbeach is damaged? To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Asya Midrasha Rabbi Yossi. It's the drasha Rabbi Yossi. What's the drasha? The sanya Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Gimel Dvarim Mishum Amud Beis Mishum Gimel Zakenim. So Rabbi Yossi says, ultimately, I learned three things from three elders. Okay? V'zeh Acha Mehem. I'll share with you one of them. What's the one? Rabbi Shmuel says, Yochol Ya'ale Adam Ma'isei Sheni Yushayim V'yochlenu Bizman Hazeh. So we'll say, this is great. This is absolutely great. So Rabbi Shmuel says like this. One might have thought that you can go ahead and bring Ma'isei Sheni to Yerushalayim today and eat Ma'isei Sheni in a state of Kiddush HaRash. Look at Rashi. Yochol Ya'ale Adam Ma'isei Sheni. Now, what? Why would I think that? Dikasavar Kiddush, I'm reading Rashi now, second line from the top. Dikasavar Kiddush HaSa'aretz Lo Batla. Because Rabbi said, if you hold that the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael is eternal. Utsricha hafrashas maisus minatar. Rabbi said, understand, if the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael is eternal, that means that what? That the produce has Kiddush HaSa'aretz. The produce has Kiddush HaSa'aretz Yisrael. Well, if the produce has Kiddush HaSa'aretz Yisrael, that means there's a biblical obligation of Trumas and Maisus. Well, if there's Trumas and Maisus, then there's Maisus Sheni. And ultimately, again, I should have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Right, that's what I would have thought. So Yachol, Ya'ala Adam. Suppose we're going. Okay, let's. Yachol, this is so exciting. Yachol, Ya'ala Adam, Maaser Yerushalayim. I might have thought that even today, without a Beis Hamikdash, I should be obligated to bring Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Now again, about that, remember, if you hold that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is eternal, right? The Kedusha of the land does not cease. I don't mean like in a hashkafic spiritual sense. We're talking in a halachic sense. That Eretz Yisrael retains its Kedusha for all eternity. There is a Beis HaMikdash, there isn't a Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't matter. The Eretz Yisrael has its Kedusha. That means the produce ultimately again is Eretz Yisrael's sanctity, which means that the halachos of Trumas and Maisros apply even in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, which would then mean Maiser Sheni, which is mine. I can eat it, but I have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So now I have an obligation to bring it up to Yerushalayim, even now, even without a Beis HaMikdash. That's what I would have thought. So the Gemara says, V'yachlonu b'zman hazeh, v'dinu. Well, the truth is, I can make a Kal V'chomer. What's the Kal V'chomer? Here we go. B'char ta'on hava asmakom. So on one hand, I will say b'char. Right? What's our b'char? Firstborn animal that you have to give to the Kohen. So b'char requires, right, being brought to the Beis HaMikdash. U'maiser ta'on hava asmakom. Maiser Sheni also requires being brought to Yerushalayim. Ma b'char ina ala b'fnei abayis. Just like Bechar only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash, because it's in the sacrificial family. Af Maiser Sheni ela b'fnei abayis. So to Maiser Sheni only applies where there is a Beis HaMikdash. Incredible, that's the Kal V'chomer, and therefore I will say, it turns out that no, there's no din of bringing Maiser Sheni to Yerushalayim when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Gemara says, hold up. That is not a fair comparison. Because remember again, Bechar is a carbon. Bechar is a carbon. As much as the coin gets to eat the meat, at the end of the day, it requires a Zerika blood application and sacrificial parts on the Mizbeach. So of course that only happens with a Beis HaMikdash. Bikur says, but yet, obviously, Maiser Sheni doesn't have any of that. See, even if Bechar does require a Beis HaMikdash, maybe Maiser Sheni does not, to which the Gemara says, Bikurim Yochichu. No, Bikurim will prove it, because we also say Bikurim, right? Bikurim, there's obviously no blood, Bikurim are first fruits. Obviously, there's no blood application by Bikurim. And yet, when is there mitzvah Bikurim? Only when there is a Beis HaMikdash. So I can say, just like Bikurim only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so to Maaser Sheni only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash. No, but Maile Bikurim Shekin Tu'unin Hanocha. Remember, Bikurim do require something. What do Bikurim require? Hanocha. The halacha is Bikurim are placed by the Mizbeach. So ultimately, again, of course, Bikurim require Beis HaMikdash. Maaser Sheni has no such Hanocha requirement. Say Maaser Sheni should be obligated even the absence of Beis HaMikdash. Tamu Lomar, listen to this. Ve'veisam Shama Olo Seichem. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, Ve'veisam Shama Olo Seichem Vizivchechem Ve'es Masro Seichem. So the pasuk groups together all of these items. Now watch this. Makish meiser lebechar. In the pasuk itself, the pasuk equates meiser, which I will say first to all trumas and meisers. But for our purposes over here, we're referring dafka to meiser sheni. It equates meiser sheni to bechar. Ma bechar eina ela b'fnei abayis. Ultimately, again, just like Bechar only applies where there's a Beis HaMikdash, Af Meiser Eina Ela B'fnei Abayis. So to Meiser, Meiser Sheni only applies ultimately when there is a Beis HaMikdash. Incredible. And therefore, there would be no contemporary obligation to bring Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Gemara says, one second. V'nei Hader Dina, V'nei Se B'mahatzad. So why not go ahead and create a Bosei Mahatzad? Ultimately, again, now what would the Mahatzad be? The Mahatzad is like a common denominator. What's the matzad? So Rashi points out over here, we would make a matzad between Bechar and Bikurim. And we would say ultimately, again, just like Bechar and Bikurim are consumed in Yerushalayim and require a Beis HaMikdash, so too Maaser Sheni, which is in Yerushalayim, also requires a Beis HaMikdash. Then I'll tell you why. Mishum de'ikal mifrach, because you can ask a pericha on this, what's the pericha? Ma lahatzad ashava shebohen, sheken yeish bohen sad mizbeach. Here's the difference, I will say. Both Bechar and Bikurim have what we call a tzad mizbeach. They both interact with the mizbeach. Bechar is ultimately, again, blood applications and sacrificial parts. Bikurim is the placement of the Bikurim by the mizbeach. Whereas Maaser Sheni doesn't have any mizbeach interaction. So we'll say, Twitch the Gemara said, let's back up a little bit, right? Let's back up, because what is the principle that underlies this entire discussion? The principle that underlies this entire discussion is, what is the status of the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael? Right? Does Eretz Yisrael retain its biblical Kiddusha in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash or not? That's, I will say, I just want to point out, there's two discussions that may not be interrelated. The two discussions are, is the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael eternal? That's number one. The Kiddusha of Sol Eretz Yisrael eternal, which would then mean, if it is, that means even in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, all of the laws of Trumas and Maestros still apply, ultimately, again, biblically. So that's issue one. Issue number two is, what is the status of the Har HaBayis? Does the Har HaBayis retain its biblical Kiddusha even without the Beis HaMikdash? Does it remain intact with or without the Beis HaMikdash? So Kiddusha Rishon, Kiddusha Shad, Kiddusha Lassel Lavos. In other words, and that has ramifications as well, which is, can you offer up Karbanos on the Har HaBayis even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash? If you hold that the area is sanctified, eternal sanctity, even without the structure, it could be that you could offer up Karbanos. If you hold, however, again, the sanctity is only there when the structure is there, you can't offer up Karbanos. So just, these are two machlokes. See, here we go. Says the Gemara, Maika Savar. So what exactly do we hold? So Gemara says, Ika Savar, Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha L'Shaita, V'Kiddusha L'Asad Lavol. So if we hold that Halacha L'Maisa, the first Kiddusha, ultimately, again, was sanctified for its time and sanctified for all eternity, which is another way of saying that the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael is eternal, then afilu b'char nami. Then Rabbi said, the truth is, I should have to bring b'char even without a Beis HaMikdash. Right? Halacha l'maisa, Rashi says, oh yeah, afilu b'char nami, afilu b'char yakriv v'yochad, da ha man de islei kiddusha la'asid lavo, islei shemakriven afapi she'in bayis. So Rabbi says, so ultimately again, if you hold that halacha l'maisa, kiddusha rishona, kiddusha, now it's interesting, by the way, Rashi understands over here that now this is talking about the Beis HaMikdash. So, because if you look at the Dir Maaseh, Rashi says, Ika Sabra Kiddusha Rishona Shal Bayis. Kiddusha L'Shayta V'Kiddusha L'Asad Lavo. So Rashi says like this. If you hold that Halacha L'Maisa, when the first Beis HaMikdash was sanctified, the sanctity is eternal. If that's the case, then you should be able to bring, or obligated to bring, Bachar now as well. Because you could offer up Bachar even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. V'ika savar lo kiddusha la'asid lavo, and ultimately again, if the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash was not eternal, then what? Afilu b'char nami tibay. Then ultimately again, even b'char is a shayla. Even b'char is a shayla. Amravina li'olam kasavar lo kiddusha. But say in reality we paskin that halacha l'maisa. So we'll say, so again, the Gemara here is asking about the kiddusha of the Har HaBayis. Is the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis eternal or not eternal? If it's eternal, then you could offer up Bechar. If it's not eternal, then we can't offer up Bechar. So the Gemara says, Am Ravina, the Olam Kasavar Lo Kiddusha. In reality, Ravina says, we hold that the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis is only there when the Beis HaMikdash stands. And ultimately, again, if the Beis HaMikdash is not there, there is not temple sanctity. So the Gemara says, but what's the case? This is incredible. V'chama Yaskinan. This is wild. What if you had the following case? You have a Bechar animal. The Bechar animal ultimately, again, was shechted, and the Zrika was done before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And then what happens? And then ultimately, again, then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So what ends up happening over here is by the time you get to eat of the meat, the Beis HaMikdash is no longer there. The Beis HaMikdash is no longer there. So at the time of Shechita, the time of Zrika, Beis HaMikdash was there. Then by the time I get to consumption, Beis HaMikdash is no longer there. What is the halacha? What's the halacha in such a situation like this? V'adayin b'sar al-kayim. So we'll say, now the Buster said, we'll say, by the way, I just want to point out, what an incredible Musar HaSkil. What Musar HaSkil is, life could change in the blink of an eye. And sometimes the things that we have in one moment, we do not have in the very next moment of life. And ultimately, we like to think that change is gradual, change takes time, and sometimes it does. But sometimes, especially in the world of loss, the things that you treasure and the things that you love and the things that you have in one moment could chas v'shalom be gone in the next. Which is why, again, we have to take the time to mamish, first of all, treasure and appreciate the special people and the special things that we have in life. Say the things that need to be said to the people we love. for we never know what the next moment brings. So therefore the Gemara says, so here this person went ahead and shechted the carbon, did the zrika on the Mizbeach, and then the very next moment it was destroyed. The sacrificial meat is still in existence. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, V'iskish besar ledamo. We compare the meat of the Bechar to the dam of the Bechar. Ma damo b'mizbeach, af besaro b'mizbeach. Just like the blood requires mizbeach, so too the meat requires the mizbeach. As Rabbi said, this goes back to what we were saying before. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, if the mizbeach is not in existence at the time of meat consumption, you cannot eat the sacrificial meat. And therefore, we'll say we come and we learn out Meiser Shini from Bechar, meaning what? Just like Bechar requires ultimately again a Mizbeach, both by Zerika as well as by Achila, by consumption of the sacrificial meat, so to Meiser Shini requires a Mizbeach as well. And the absence of a Mizbeach by Meiser Shini says you don't bring Meiser Shini. Right, if there's no Mizbeach, you don't bring Meiser Shini. The Gemara says, 1 second. V'chidavar halomim behekesh. This keeps coming up. This is incredible. It keeps coming up in Zvachim. V'chidavar halomim behekesh. Chozal behekesh. 1 second. Can something itself that is learned out from a hekesh be the source of another hekesh? Shabbos says, if you remember again, we've seen this concept before. If you learn out B from A as a result of a hekesh, could B then go ahead and serve as the source ultimately again for C? We're going to stop over here for today, but just understand. So we're stopping a little bit in the midst of a machlokes over here, which is that halacha lemaisa. Remember, how was this all introduced? If you have a mizbeach, I shechted a carbon. I went ahead and I did zrika. Then the mizbeach was damaged. Can you go ahead and eat sacrificial meat when the mizbeach was damaged? That's the overarching question. That then led to a segue. That then led ultimately again to a little bit of a detour. Ultimately again, in the absence of a mizbeach, what can you do? Which then led to the more global discussion about the nature of the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, the nature of the sanctity of Har HaBayis. Emir Hashem to be continued tomorrow. Shkayach, everyone. All right, Chavra Zoom, have a great day. Eretz Yisrael, Chavra, Mamish, this is your sugya. This is your sugya. What is the nature of the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael? Incredible.